The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Go higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Aviana Barrientos, Lexi Brinkley, and Jill Lane.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good to be here.
Let's talk about bees.
Oh my gosh.
We got Jill fired.
Y'all were on it.
She got fired up.
Hey.
She
did. I don't think I've ever heard you speak like that, Jill.
Right?
She lost her damn mind.
Scared me a little bit.
Hey, I know about it.
Oh, my gosh. I love Jolene. She's been on the show like forever. From the very beginning. Did you see the picture that I posted of you and me and Tina from like 8 years ago?
Yes.
Looked so skinny in that picture. I looked like I didn't even have any boobs. I don't know what was up with my boobs that day. Clearly, I had breasts.
That closely, but
yeah,
y'all did look like babies.
No, I know. Well,
that was pre-baby for Jill for one of them.
That
right?
was after my second, I believe. I had long baby hair. You know, when you're pregnant, at least when I'm pregnant, my hair gets really thick and long, and oof. I wish I had that hair again. But yeah. I could tell I was post baby because I still had the long golden baby locks.
Yeah, well, you had a flat stomach, Whitney, and you have your curves.
Thanks to Tina in the picture.
That's right.
She
Tina was training me then too,
and helped me get back in really good shape. Some of the best shape I was in, even pre-babies of my life. So I was grateful to her for that.
Yeah, no, I got in tremendous shape too. Almost too good a shape, if there is such a thing. I had literally like no meat on my bones, and I don't think I looked as sexy. I just didn't. As a woman looking at myself in the mirror, like I kind of lost my curves, and I like my American thighs.
That's good. You know what? Hey,
gotta love
everybody should love their body, regardless of the size. I had a talk with a client of mine who's actually a male last week who's really struggling with some weight loss and just the mental side of what it's going to take for him to believe he can be healthy in the size that he wants. And I said, one of the key elements, which I really believe this after 20 years of being in the industry, the first half working a lot in weight loss, is that you have to love yourself the way you are right now, before any, not before, as a part of your journey. People will think, well, when I get to X or when I am this, then I will love myself. I'll feel different. I'll be happier. You have to love yourself 100% the way you are right now.
That's right. So
because
look in the
inside
mirror.
Of you isn't going to change. Like the feet, you know, the inside of
it's
you
so
is going to be the same inside of you. You know what I'm saying? People think money or, you know, hey, money helps. It's if you can pay your bills, it's helpful. But
of course,
when it comes
living
to
in
your health,
poverty,
you need to love
miserable,
yourself but. Always, regardless of your size. And the more you take care of yourself, the more self-respect I think you cultivate, but you should always love yourself regardless.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one of the things that I love having you in studio is we get to talk about reading labels and all kinds of things that people really need to know about. There's so much trickery out there, you guys, seriously. So I was in Target yesterday, you know, getting a couple of things, and I actually wanted to see, I answered my phone by accident. I just hung up. I was on my camera, whoever that was.
Whoopsies.
It was probably a sales call anyway. You know how they are.
They call all the wrong times.
All the wrong times.
Darn you.
And so I wanted to see what are some of the most popular drinks, you know, there. And there are some good ones, like Hum Kombucha. I've talked about them for years. Is her name? Jamie Danick, I think, is the founder of the company. I met her at the Expo West like 5 years ago. You know, really good companies like that. Then there's this tea company, but there's so many sales pitches on these and so many things to target you that are just like not legit. And I'm going to give you a perfect, well, we'll save it.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss it.
Spill the beans.
Yeah, I'm not going to spill the beans, especially on this one product, because I'm telling you, it is so not healthy and you need to be aware. So
I think to tease it, I think what people should know is like once you get really savvy at reading labels, which we talk about so much on this show. Once you get really savvy at reading labels, the industry gets savvy that we've gotten savvy.
Right.
And so they pull out a little trickery. They start changing the names of something or calling something by a different name, like its botanical name, which we might not recognize. Well, or they They tweak a chemical just enough to be able to call it something slightly different, but it has maybe potentially the same damaging metabolic function.
Right. Man. Well, you know, I think of an article that Moses, what is his name again?
Velasquez Manoff.
Yes, he wrote an article for the New York Times. It's a fascinating article about our body can't keep up with all these ingredients that it doesn't recognize and what to do with them, how to process them. One of them is trehalose, I think is how you say it. It's one of those O's, you know, sweeteners. Mm-hmm. It's not even available like over the counter. It's an industrial product. So the people that produce, you know, large quantities of stuff in production, you know, of food can use it. It's approved by the FDA. And I believe, you know, we couldn't find a lot on allulose, which is in more and more products, especially with the ketogenic diet, the popularity of that, and the paleo diet, which is no sugar, basically, unless it's maple syrup, right? Isn't that some of the guidelines? Maple syrup or maybe
depends
stevia?
Depends on whose keto program you're following.
Yeah. And so, you know, you can't find a lot on it. But I think the reason why is I think it's like trehalose. It is another ingredient that is sold exclusively to big manufacturers in the food industry. And so I'm going to do more homework on it, though, because I want to know and I want you to know, because I don't want you putting you know what in your body that makes you feel good or feel bad and all these things. You know, yesterday, I have to say, I watched a documentary yesterday morning. It's What's With Wheat. And the person that was the founder or the producer or director, that she was the idea behind it is Cindy O'Meara, I believe is her name. A great documentary. We're going to try to get it on our website or find out where everyone else can watch it. But once you watch that film, you're going to, it's like taking 8 years of One Life Radio and condensing them into one, you know, 2 hour documentary. But everyone out there listening needs to watch it. And I'm going to be sure that I make it available to everyone.
Well, give me a couple of the big takeaways. I mean, it sounds like there was a lot, but
the importance of the gut microbiome, how our food, the food industry and big food, big chemical, big everything has destroyed the wheat. It's not good for you. Oh my God. It's just unbelievable the stuff that they covered and the history. Most of it we've covered on the show.
Like a lot of the same guests, right?
A lot of the same guests that were guest experts in the film have also been on the air with us many times. And it was just fascinating to me how complicated it is and how you can very simply make it uncomplicated by eliminating certain things out of your diet.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting conundrum we're in. We're going to get to this when we talk about these beverages today. Like, there's certain things we definitely should cut out of our diet. Chemicals, you know, stuff that if it wasn't like grown, I shouldn't say that because they're even adulterating stuff that's grown. But if it doesn't, you know, if it's not natural, if it's not something you recognize, you know, if it's one of the chemicals we talk about, artificial sweeteners, food dyes, high fructose corn syrup, hydrogenated fats, you shouldn't eat those things. But then there's some things, okay, what if you have a sensitivity to a food and you have to give up like dairy, let's just say, should you be responsible to making sure you have other sources of calcium in your diet? If you're going to go gluten-free, should you make sure you're getting fiber from other sources? Because for most people, that's their only source of fiber.
Well, and they push the calcium because they want to push the dairy. Dairy's not good for you in excess. You know, a Mediterranean diet, you sprinkle a little feta cheese on top of something, maybe as an accent. You don't just sit and eat. When I was there, there was no organic cheese, no organic anything in Target. I think they're changing maybe what they put on their shelves. I don't know. And then they had some competition of seventh generation, some new product launch that's safe for the earth and stuff like that, and it said, I don't know, something like 95% plant-based. Well, what about the other 5%?
Right.
What about the other 5% that's damaging the earth and you because you're spraying it around in your home? It's like, I don't know, there's just so much trickery. And like I said, you're not going to want to miss Jill's segment because we're going to talk about this.
This milk alternative.
This new milk alternative.
Which there's so many out there.
So many out there. This is the newest one. The original, blankly. I'm not going to say the word. But it's in a blue container and it says, shake me. We promised to be a good company. We read the ingredients. We were like, oh my gosh. So they're not, I'm going to stop because I'm going to get myself in a hole here.
They basically took one of the ingredients that you
talk about
both,
all the time.
But you've been very passionate about this ingredient and us avoiding it. And instead of calling it by the name we all recognize, especially for in the know and reading labels, they've called it by its its plant name or a different name that it goes mm-hmm. by, which is very seldom used, yeah. which could totally
they,
trick
here's
somebody
what they did
on purpose. Jill, they purposely did that. That they, there's no, yeah. that wasn't done by accident.
It wasn't done by accident. No, because they know that canola oil sucks. So they called it by its original name, which used to be made into ship oil. Mm. Ship oil. Think about that. During World War, I think it was World War II is when, or it was either one of the World Wars, one or two is when they, I think it was after World War II, and they didn't know what to do with all this oil that they used to use for ships, and they thought, and it's a Canadian company. I don't have the history in front of me. I've talked about it many times on the air, but I'll get it before we go to your segment.
Listen, the intent of this segment is to help make sure that the stuff that you're drinking isn't like just eating 50 teaspoons of sugar, which one of the beverages I brought, I mean, we've covered this brand so yep. many times, so I still today was shocked and appalled at how much sugar is in this drink that people drink on the daily thinking mm-hmm. it is healthy
for
them.
It's in Target too. It's everywhere.
And it's everywhere. It's in a lot of the coffee shops these days. So we're going to talk about how to read the labels. We're going to talk about the alternatives, and we're going to talk about, okay, if you've gone gluten-free, dairy-free, and you're using a substitute, especially in the milk category, what do you need to know? Are mm-hmm. there other places like you should be getting fiber or calcium? Should you be worried about that? Because I think that's another thing that's happening is people are going fill in the blank free.
Right.
But should you be replacing some of the stuff that was in that food with another food group? Like calcium,
right.
like fiber,
when
like
they
amino
talk about
acids.
Calcium, they need to talk about silica. I mean, we could go, you and I could talk for hours about this. It's just incredible. So, yeah, I've got a thing here of a container of dairy-free original USDA organic chameleon cold brew organic oat milk blended with cold brew coffee. But this has a lot of sugar in it, too, I think. I'm going to let you break it down when we go to What the Heck Are You Drinking? What the Heck Are You Thinking? With
Love
Jill
it.
Lane coming up. We've got Dr. Jonathan Avery. He's going to be talking about the stigma of addiction coming up next. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Hello, hello, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I hope that you're missing me, 'cause it makes me feel young. Hello, hello.
Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley, Jill Lane, and Aviana Barrientos. I've got Dr. Anthony Avery on the line. I'm so pleased to have him here with us today. You're not going to want to miss this. We're talking about the stigma of addiction. Dr. Jonathan Avery is the Director of Addiction Psychiatry and Associate Professor in Clinical Psychiatry at Weill Cornell Medical College and New York Presbyterian Hospital. In addition to his clinical work, Dr. Avery teaches addiction psychiatry to the Weill Cornell medical students and residents of New York Presbyterian Hospital. He is the founder of Addiction Stigma Institute that studies stigma towards individuals with substance use disorders and creates novel interventions to improve these stigmatizing attitudes. He was on the editorial board for the DSM-5, that's the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of Mental Disorders, Clinical Casebook, or Clinical Cases Book. He has won numerous awards for his clinical and academic work, including the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology Faculty Innovation and Education Award and the Outstanding Faculty Member Award from the New York County Psychiatric Society. His website is substanceusestigma.com. That's substanceusestigma.com. Such an honor to have you with us today, Dr. Avery.
Yes, no, thank you for the kind introduction and for having me here. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, I love talking about this. I really do. And I kind of have this attitude that I know, although they say an estimate, I think, 20 million Americans have an addiction problem over the age of 12. But I believe that almost everyone has an addiction problem, that we trade at one addiction for another or mix them up like I do, kind of. Am I wrong about that?
Sure. No, I think, you know, it's hard to find someone who's not impacted by addiction or substance use in some ways. And if not in oneself, I think most of us know a family member or a close friend who's suffered. And so mm-hmm. you know, it's certainly important, the work you're doing, the work everyone's doing, to sort of talk about it, think about it, be open and honest about everyone's struggles so we can handle it in the best way possible.
Yeah. Where do you cross the line where it becomes like maybe a bad habit or several bad habits to where it actually becomes an addiction, and then you have to deal with what the stigma of that addiction?
It's murky. I mean, in terms of when sort of use transitions to an addiction, and, you know, by our DSM-5, it's when it starts, you know, impairing your function and, you know, you're struggling to cut down and you're losing important things in your life. I always tell people you don't want external things to cause you to have to change. You want to, you know, nip these addictive behaviors before they take control of one's life. And I think that's so key. And I think stigma, unfortunately, plays a big role in why, you know, many of the 20 million plus with addiction don't get treatment because, you know, one, you know, I've studied the stigma in doctors that certainly exist, where, you know, even doctors don't necessarily like taking care of folks with substance use. And then we certainly see it in our society, in our families.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thing that happens is then you start to stigmatize your own behavior and think, you know, this is something I need to keep secret and not address. And then we really think addiction hides in the secrets.
Well, you know, what is the stigma of addiction in general?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's stigma can be defined a lot of different ways, but we sort of think it's when people have negative attitudes towards someone because of defining characteristic, and this, you know, especially for addiction, this stigma results in a lot of shame or you know, feelings, like we said, that you need to hide it and isn't treated sort of like the, you know, more of a disease or more of something that you would talk about. I mean, if you had cancer, you'd let everyone know. When a
family
member has substance use, everyone sort of hides it.
What a great point.
Sort of a good example of how it sort of plays out in our day-to-day life.
Well, what's it like in the medical community? What is the stigma in the medical community when it comes to addiction?
Yeah, I was totally, you know, I had some really good early experiences taking care of folks with substance use disorders. And I was really excited by the field of addiction. I think I thought, you know, they're interesting meds, interesting therapies. People can get better. And you can have really dramatic changes when people get better. And I was really excited to be in a young addiction psychiatrist when I was in med school, excited to pursue it. And then I noticed everyone around me wasn't so excited about my career choice. They were saying, you know, why would you want to do that? That's a waste of time and energy. And, you know, these folks don't get better. And, you know, it's, well, and I was really blown away because I've had these really positive experiences and suddenly for everyone to say, no, don't do it. Or, mm-hmm. you know, we shouldn't spend our time and attention. I thought, wow, this is worth my time and attention. And so,
yeah, you can hear the kindness in your voice. I can totally hear it in your voice. I mean, I feel the energy. You're obviously a very kind and caring individual, you know, and you make a point. So people don't want to deal with it. I think part of it is our throwaway society. Don't you?
Sure. No, and you know, quickly to mark something as negative and then to move on to something else. And I think that's a mistake, especially with substance use. I think mm-hmm. a lot of I think you have a real opportunity as a doctor or any clinician to make a difference and to sort of, you know, we're encouraging folks to lean in and offer the treatments. And that's the thing. There are really good treatments these days, and especially in the setting of the opiate epidemic. You know, where we're seeing so many lives lost, I think it's mm-hmm. more important than ever that doctors play an active role in screening for opiate misuse, sort of avoiding overprescribing, and then when folks get into trouble, being there to offer treatment. I mean, you sort of hear about, you know, family, the example of cancer. I mean, we want, when patients come to the hospital with a substance use, that doctors rally around the patient and the family like they would for a cancer diagnosis and mm-hmm. not deprioritize folks with substance use.
Yeah, I mean, you said something a few minutes ago about something about, you know, some people think that those people can never be cured or they can never have a normal life. I totally disagree. I think that anyone can change if they really want to. I think sometimes they do have to hit rock bottom, like they say, and lose everything before they awaken and say, this is not how I want to live my life. What do you feel about that?
Well, I think, you know, it's never... People change at all different points, and for certain people it will take sort of a really bad life event to motivate them for change. But other people might be willing earlier. And I think part of what contributes to rock bottom being the necessary cause is that we tend not to intervene and screen and take an active role before things get that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I'd want my primary care, I'd want your primary care doctor when you see him or her every year to ask about substance use, to let one know about treatment options. And what happens instead is that, you know, people end up with medical consequences or social consequences, and then people intervene. And so
right.
I think, you know, that the whole system's rigged for sort of the
failure.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Or for really bad things to motivate change.
Well, and I know...
You don't want really bad stuff to cause you to have to change. You want it to be, you know, like you would for any diagnosis. You want... If your blood pressure is a little elevated, you want to start exercising. If you're gaining weight, you want to go on a diet. And if you're misusing substance, you want people to sort of be there early on and saying, hey, here's some things you can do, and let's talk about it, as opposed to sort of just ignoring it until it's a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Jill Lane is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach. She has a question for you.
Yeah.
Along those lines, I wanted to know, I was curious, how much of the people with addiction or patients with addiction that you see come in, I mean, I think in society we think of people with addiction as weak-minded or weak-spirited, that they just can't stop it and break it on their own. But as someone who does a lot of nutrient deficiency testing, I wonder how much of what you see are people that come in who maybe were just kind of dealt a poor hand genetically, or who have some sort of chemical imbalance that makes it harder for them to not become addicted to mm-hmm. something. Because I think that would potentially, if we understood that more as a society, it would maybe help lift some of that stigma that sometimes people are just dealt a bad hand genetically or biochemically, because maybe their mom was addicted and that affected their neurotransmitter levels in utero and growing up. I was just curious what your thoughts are about that and if you see that in the patients you treat.
Oh yeah, that's so key. I should hire you both to come help me talk about stigma. That's the idea that substance use is a moral failing
mm-hmm.
and not sort of a, you know, I think people sometimes balk at the disease model, but it's definitely a huge genetic component. There's definitely, when you start using changes in your neurobiology and your neurocircuitry, that makes it really hard to stop using.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think for anyone that comes in, and even doctors, we get taught extensively about the neurobiology of addiction, about it, the disease model, and still, you know, people can perceive it as a moral failing and not something mm-hmm. that deserves our empathy
mm-hmm.
or treatment and should be treated along lines of everything else. And the crazy thing is that any diagnosis really can be formatted in a similar way as different choices or environment factors impacting it. Like certainly, and you know, weight loss and diet, smoking, all these things contribute to a bunch of health things, and we don't necessarily blame the patient
yeah.
the way we blame when the substance use disorder develops.
Well, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we've talked about this many times on the air, Jill and I have also talked about it with Robin Perry Braun, but something as simple as B vitamins and the methylation process, how some people can't even absorb their B vitamins correctly, which of course are all connected to the central nervous system, and then the gut microbiome, all these things that we talk about on the air, there are so many connections. And like you said, somebody could fall on bad times and, you know, end up in poverty, and it could totally, their whole life could spin out of control when faced with a huge adversity, right?
That's right. No, and I think, you know, I mean, life is hard, and there are a lot of traumas one goes through, and certainly we think risk factors for developing a substance use disorder, some of the biggest risk factors are genetics, having a family member, but also trauma, you know, co-occurring psychiatric and anxiety disorders, difficult life situations, as you're describing. And so all these things, it's never... out of nothing, and it's never simply because a bad person started doing bad things.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this, and it's so great. You're so great. I just have to comment. I know I'm sitting here smiling at Jill. I can hear your kindness through the airways. Even I can only imagine how many people you've helped to heal. And I have to thank you for that because there's so many people out there that don't give a rat's behind about these kind of people that are suffering. It's all about the money. Clearly, with you, it's not that you chose this path in life to help heal so many people. So I have to ask you. So what do you think about interventions? Do you think they are effective?
Well, for some people they are. I think the data shows, though, that there's a large majority of people that it doesn't help. I certainly have had patients, though, that have had an intervention, and it's worked wonders and gotten them their treatment started.
Mm-hmm.
I think the worry sometimes is for the wrong patient or the wrong family, it ends up either sort of pushing the person away or people sort of can't go through with it and it gets all complicated or mixed up in family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
I think our big strategy these days is really to offer people a menu of options as a goal. That if we sort of think for any given person that an intervention will work great, if we think seeing an addiction doctor great or AA or AA alternatives or rehab, we really want to not, you know, there's sometimes that analogy, if you take, there's only two pizza slices and you take one, if you go dramatically in one direction, the patient has to go in the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to give people options so they still feel in control. Even when life's out of control, you want options. And so our goal is to present one, and one may be intervention, but one may also be, you know, getting in touch with a therapist, mm-hmm. or a psychiatrist, or a range of treatment options. So that's sort of where we're moving these days.
Well, I thank you for all the work that you are doing. And my dad is speaking to me right now, and I can hear him say, "You don't throw people away." And I can't even tell you the hundreds of times I heard people say that, or I heard my father say that about people. And that's the kind of attitude I think is more effective in healing people. And again, thank you so much, Dr. Jonathan Avery, for being on the show with us.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
It was our pleasure. And everyone, you can find Dr. Avery at substanceusestigma.com. We're going to break. We'll be back with Jill Lane. Everyone, stay tuned. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Does everyone want to sing along? I love
this
song.
You got it.
Here comes the sun. Come on, guys. Here comes the sun. We might even play the whole song because I can.
It's all right.
If I feel like it. That's a great thing about, you know, doing this show.
Being
really
the boss.
Is. Well, you know what's funny is, no, not so much being the boss, but just having the freedom of speech.
Right.
Truly is the greatest gift that we have in this country. It's so important. It really is. I count my lucky stars every single day that I am on the air and blessed enough to be able to share the things that I find with our listeners and try to help them heal their families and feed their families well. And that includes sunshine. And you know what? Okay, so this song, we can keep it rolling. I'll tell you the story. So I have this crazy stuff that happens to me. I almost said the S word. So I'm in my living or my kitchen yesterday, like, and so randomly out of nowhere, this song just popped into my head. And I was like, I love that song. We need to play that song on the air, like, at least once a week.
Why can I just hear? I can just totally picture you having this dialogue with yourself in your kitchen right now. Oh, I love that song. Oh, my gosh.
Out of nowhere. Like, the song just was in my head.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And anyway, but everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter, which will be going out, I think, today, loaded with a lot of really great information from Dr. Alvin Dannenberg, who's fighting cancer right now, to my recipe. Am I putting the eggplant parmesan in there?
Man, that was good.
We can.
Ooh, was it good?
That.
Oh, it was good. And darn. I made it paleo keto because I used almond flour. And we're going to get to that about vegans and avocados and almond flour and honey with
I
you.
I wish I could say, Jill up again. I need to practice saying almond flour like you say Instagram, because to me that's like.
Almond flour. Just don't close your lips and just leave your lips hanging open.
You can make a word out of anything.
I don't even want to try and embarrass myself.
Instagram. Okay. But I want to let everyone know you can go to our Instagram, One Life Radio One, or you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. And a big shout out to our sponsors. We've got great companies that support us and bring you this information. Companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. We have it on our website. Is that where you go to do it? Or use it at sunwarrior.com?
Sunwarrior.com.
Okay, so use the code OLR, 20% off. Our code is OLR, just period, across the board. That's what we're trying to create here to make it simple for any of these discounts that are offered so that you can just remember them. And, of course, Crazy Water is one of our sponsors. It's one of the only mineral waters bottled in Texas. It's local. You have a choice when you're out there. I sound like Southwest Airlines every time I say that.
You have a choice when you fly.
I know, but you do. And so pick up a bottle of Crazy Water because it's a great company. And, of course, KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD oil. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, the Well-Being Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website at oneliferadio.com. You can order any of their products, which they are one of the best in the industry, if not the best, along with Gaia and Sun Warrior for 20% off and free shipping. And I just want to thank you for listening to One Life Radio. How's that?
Awesome. Woo, okay. Love it.
Let's go.
All right. Well, let's go. Okay. What the heck are you thinking? What the heck are you drinking, Jolene?
Oh my over gosh, there with all it's your been bottles? A while since we've done this. I'm okay. So excited.
I know. This used to be a regular, what do you call it?
Segment.
Yeah. You know, a part of our shtick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we went, both of us, where did you go shopping for your stuff?
I went to
Royal Blue.
Yeah.
Royal Blue.
But the stuff that I bought, you can find anywhere. Target. Okay. A regular grocery store. I didn't buy anything that you can't get anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I went to Target. Of course, they're everywhere. And the one thing that I've been noticing is this new oat milk that's out there. It's called Oatly. And then there's that other one that I shout out that was the Chameleon.
Which we're drinking.
Which we're drinking.
I want to try it.
It's got a little bit of sugar in it. I like that it's not overly sweet, but it does have sugar in it. And it's organic. That's probably a good product. But let's talk about Oatly and what's in it, Jill. I'm going to let you break it down.
So funny. Well, I guess for all the people who are trying to avoid dairy for whatever reason, maybe they're vegan, maybe they have a sensitivity, maybe there's another reason, there is a plethora of quote unquote, you know, animal milk substitutes out there. I actually have never used an oat milk before. Personally, we're dairy free in my house because half of my family is dairy sensitive and gets rashes and headaches and IBS and all sorts of things from dairy.
So that's just what happens to my significant other. He cannot have dairy. Right?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that that's the linchpin, because we've been sold by the Milk Mustache campaign and lots of other
dairy association
billboards that
Milk
is critical.
Grow strong.
It's critical to your health. But for a lot of people, it is an irritant. It's not the cause of the problem, but it's a major irritant to an underlying gut problem that you have.
Absolutely. Well, and I have to point out that most pediatricians start pushing it right after the baby is what, like a year old? Are you giving them milk? Milk, milk. How much milk do they drink? Every time you take them into the doctor, you know, how much milk are they getting? And they push it. They really push it. And I don't think they should.
Well, Lexi and I were talking about this during the break or before the show started. I do think we should be responsible as people who have growing kids who are dairy-free to make sure they're getting what we think we need to get dairy for, calcium, from other foods. Because we're the kids and adults up to about the age of, I don't know, 25 to 30, depending on the science, are still depositing calcium into bone. And bone strength isn't just from calcium. We talk about K, we talk about D, we talk about hormones, we talk about exercise, all sorts of things. But you need to be responsible. If you're going to pull dairy out of the diet because of whatever reason, you need to make sure you're getting other calcium-rich foods, salmon, sardines, broccoli, almonds. But the problem is kids aren't eating those foods.
Right.
And so you do need to be prudent as a parent. If you're going to have a dairy-free kiddo, which a lot of people do these days, a lot of these milks, back to the milk substitute, have been fortified with calcium and vitamin D to try to replace that.
So what are, you got me curious. I didn't Google or, you know, do some homework about calcium. I'm not pulling up anything in my head, but as far as children, I agree with you, but I think there's a lot better ways for children to get calcium than from dairy.
Yeah, I mean, other food sources, I just said, like fish, like salmon and sardines.
Right.
Sardines is probably one of my favorite. I trained my oldest when she was very young to like them. My other two caught on to me, and so not so much, but they do like salmon.
How do you eat them?
Broccoli. Right out of the can.
I can't do it. My dad loves sardines. I don't know how. We used to have sardines, and of course, I'm Italian. He eats sardines all the time.
Yeah.
And anchovies.
Super good for you.
Yeah. But broccoli. Yeah. A lot of kids like broccoli. So broccoli, almonds. So almond milk is it's naturally occurring, but they often fortify. So in this particular product, Oatly, oat milk, no dairy, no nuts, no gluten, 100% vegan, it says on the front. The one thing that stood out, we start to read the ingredients. Well, the first ingredient is oat milk, which is basically just water and oats. I guess, you know, we've all seen that if we leave our oatmeal sit around for a little too long. But then it says contains 2% of less. 2% or less of something that's a mouthful, but this is what got Bernadette and I on a spin, low uric acid rapeseed oil, and then a bunch of other stuff. And what people don't know is that rapeseed oil is canola oil.
Mm-hmm. And which is a known inflammatory, cheap oil that's horrible for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like an industrial grade oil, if you will. And when we look on the spectrum of the omega fats we should be consuming in our diet, canola oil is not one of them. We should be focusing on the omega-3s from the fish I just mentioned, from raw nuts and seeds, omega-9s from some of the seeds, but additionally avocado oil or avocados, not this kind of oil, because we have enough inflammation, you know, everything from addiction to what the doctor was just talking about to weight loss and cardiovascular disease. We're inflamed enough in this world that we don't need more of that. So if you're buying a milk substitute, make sure it doesn't have something that's going to potentially proliferate inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the sake of going dairy-free, you got to read the labels. And why would they even need to add an oil is my question.
Exactly.
Why does it have to be?
To make it palatable so that you get that fat on your tongue so it tastes better.
I guess. Because it's oats. It's a plant.
Well, that's what Americans have been trained to, too. Yeah. They're so trained. There's so many additives.
I actually don't like the grain milk substitutes, rice or oats in this case, because, again, for a lot of people, we're trying to reduce the amount of grains we're consuming. So I'm more preferable of rotating some of the nut milks. But, you know, we can get more into that after the break.
Mm-hmm. And I just found something quick in Anthony Williams' book, Medical Medium, Life-Changing Foods. Berries are high in calcium. So if kids are eating berries, strawberries, blueberries, blackberries, raspberries, they're getting lots of calcium along with, like you said, broccoli and stuff like that. Yeah, that milk, I think walnut milk's a great substitute, too. But we'll talk more about it. You're listening to Jill Lane. This is Bernadette. We'll be right back. This is One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. KetoMed, ketogenic metabolic nutrition. Use the code OLR for $40 off and free shipping. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Got your number. Oh my gosh, Jolene.
I'm trying to contain myself.
She's trying to contain herself. She wants to dance so bad. And she's a good dancer, too, by the way. Just saying. So is, you know who's a good dancer, too, is Kip Watson.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I haven't been dancing with Kip before, I don't think.
Dance party.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll have to make that happen in your living room.
We should do that.
Soon.
Yeah, with some strobe lights and stuff. With some smoke.
We can sauna.
Drink some wine. I'll cook all kinds of stuff.
Eat
oh my
some
gosh.
Vegetables.
I love to cook. I'm happiest in my kitchen. I really am. Everyone, thank you so much for listening and welcome back to One Life Radio. I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast and subscribe to our newsletter. Also, you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. Again, a big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Honest Hemp, Crazy Water, Keto Med, Nature's Plate, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And check out our dispensary. And it's not selling weed. It's selling supplements. Every time I say dispensary, people think marijuana. Yeah. But Thorn Research on our website at oneliferadio.com for 20% off and free shipping for any supplements that you might be interested in purchasing. Anyway, okay, so Jill, we're talking about what the heck are you drinking? What the heck are you thinking? Jill Lane is a pro athlete, health and nutrition coach, and founder of Fueling Champions, which is a three-step sports performance and athletic nutrition program built to maximize the potential of student athletes and the parents that support them. You can find her on Instagram at Team Fueling Champions. That's at Team Fueling Champions, or her website, fuelingchampions.org. Okay, let's talk about the stuff that you bought at the store yesterday.
Oh, man. So I went through and I just grabbed all things flavored orange just because I was trying to.
Oh, you're right. There is a theme there.
Trying to, yeah, have a theme. People might be going in the morning like, oh, I want some orange juice. Orange juice is good for you, right? Or I'm going to get one of these green drinks that they bottle up. And, you know, because I heard you should be eating more vegetables, drinking more greens. And then I got a soda. I got one of the quote unquote natural sodas. And then I got a sports drink, a Gatorade. And really what I wanted to show everybody is that or talk about so that people really realize is that sugar is sugar is sugar. I don't care if it comes from these two green drinks, this soda or the sports drink. There's different versions of sugar, but for the most part, with the exception of fructose, your body metabolizes them the same. You're going to get the same rise in blood sugar. You're going to get the same rise in insulin, which can be pro-inflammatory. It mm-hmm. can exacerbate your weight gain. It can slow your weight loss. So we want to keep our blood sugar level. We want to keep our insulin levels low, or at least not spiking throughout the day. And when you drink one of these drinks, the opposite of that is going to happen. And so the one that's the most shocking to me is this Mighty Mango Naked brand. It has in this entire container, which is, again, something that people grab. This is sold everywhere for a reason. It's because people are drinking it everywhere. There is 68 grams of carbohydrates, 57 of which are sugar in here. 57 grams of sugar is, let's see, about 12 teaspoons of sugar.
Wow. How many people feed that to their kids every day, too?
It's astonishing to me.
Ugh. I mean, that used to be my go-to.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is for a lot of people. And it's just, it's almost like we think what we drink doesn't count mm-hmm. because we're drinking it. So, oh, it's healthy for me. It's just a drink. How can this harm me? But a lot of people grab one of these in a coffee, like at their favorite coffee shop, and then within an hour at work, wonder why they can't keep their eyes open, wonder why they have the jitters, wonder why they might be cranky or unfocused or having trouble just getting their day going or staying on task at work. And imagine your kid drinking something like this.
Even, you know, I mean, it causes a lot of inflammation. I know I rarely drink anything like that. But even when I eat too many carbohydrates, I get joint pain because it causes inflammation in your body.
The only person I would recommend this to is if someone I knew was going to go like run a marathon, or they just ran a marathon. They needed mm-hmm. to have that much energy in their system, or they needed to replete that much energy, because literally carbohydrates are our body's primary fuel source. If you're not going to spend them right away, then our body uniquely has a great way to store them, but mm-hmm. we store it as fat. And when you go to your doctor, you see that with as elevated triglycerides and cholesterol, not to mention the fact that you might be gaining weight, but that's all sugar is. And so if we just dial that back, I tell people carbohydrates are your body's throttle, your gas pedal. If you're not very active, you shouldn't be eating that many of mm-hmm. them. If you're extremely active, you may be able to eat more. But then there's even some people who use the keto diet who think, no, we can just use fats for fuel instead of sugar. And, mm-hmm. and there's some truth to that. So this other one is Izzy. It's a, you know, quote unquote natural drink, soda
drink.
Replacement. Yeah. This has 30 grams of sugar, 27 of which almost all are almost all of it is sugar from carbohydrate. Again, it's almost 10 teaspoons of sugar.
Wow.
And so I think the biggest thing to point out is that if you struggle with energy, focus, gut, like gas and bloating and indigestion, inability to gain or lose weight, addiction. Well, yep. I mean, not to point out
that
sugar is the most addicting drug.
Absolutely.
And I think it is probably the most not talked about addiction. We think drugs and alcohol.
Absolutely.
And,
Well, that I think of the study. It's an old study. Yes. Everybody's heard of it, where the rat would go for the cocaine or go for the sugar instead of the cocaine.
Yeah.
It's more addicting than cocaine.
Yeah.
More addicting than cocaine. People walk around in sugar stupors all day long.
Our kids, I think, are probably the biggest ones suffering these days. And our kids are sicker than they've ever been. They're fatter than they've ever been. They have more allergies than they've ever had. They have rashes and skin and all sorts of adult onset diseases in our children now more than ever.
More
and
autoimmune disorders.
And it starts with our food and how we feed ourselves. And I'm not saying we should never consume sugar. I think that we should consume it in its natural source, and we should consume very little of it. And if we consume it, we should do it by cooking something at home with our children to get them in the kitchen to learn how to cook. And so keep these things to a minimum. And we should just be really living off water, maybe some bubbly water to spice it up a little bit.
You can do all kinds of fun things.
Organic coffee. You can make your own spa water by putting lemons and limes and mint leaves and things
berries,
like that
whatever.
In there. And your kids, if you do it and your kids see you doing it, they will eventually take a liking to it. They might not change overnight. They're addicted to sugar.
They are.
You're not
going
to be able to get them to stop in a day.
The best way to do it is to like get it out of your house. And I mean, I like, you know, a little, if you want something fizzy, like a LaCroix or a mineral water, you know, there's lots of mineral. In fact, the Crazy Water has a mineral water and a regular spring water. Let's talk about this Gatorade, though. That G has been staring at me through the whole show. I want to hear what you have to say about good old orange Gatorade.
Ooh, it's so tough for me as someone with a sports nutrition business. But the first thing is, if you're not an athlete, you have not earned the right to drink a Gatorade. Unless maybe you're a worker that's out in the sun all day long working in construction or working
what
in
about
landscaping.
A bad
and
hangover.
You are sweating and sweating and sweating. The funny thing is you don't need the carbohydrates from this Gatorade. You just need the electrolytes. They're like, oh, Jill, well, they have that G2 now that doesn't have any sugar. Well, guess what? It has
sucralose
and food dye.
And sucralose
so do you
disrupts
eat
your
paint?
Exactly. I mean, and the sucralose disrupts your gut bacteria and makes you sicker. I mean, it's like, God,
Gatorade is meant for a purpose, and I do recommend it in my athletes that have back-to-back competition in the same day. So think a track meet, think a tournament, something like that, because it's meant to quickly refuel so that you can compete again. That's not what most people are doing at lunch. Like, if I see a kid drinking Gatorade at lunch, I just want to rip my head off.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm like, how are they going to spend that energy? They're going to be fidgeting in their desk, and next thing you know, we call that ADD.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's pull back the sugar and see what happens
first. And they push that at colleges, too, because of all the hangovers and the drinking and all that. My daughter tries to go and get it up at the convenience store. I'm like, don't bring that stuff in the house.
That Pedialyte.
You know, I'm going to quote Sister Mary Edwards, my like fourth grade teacher. People, read the label. All right, everyone. You get one body. Thank you, Jolaine. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there and make the most of it.